Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parkside Today. I'm John Melke. It's a pleasure to be joined by Deborah Karp, Director of Community and Business Engagement here at UW-Parkside. Deborah is also serving as Leadership Kenosha Facilitator. Deborah, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thanks, John.
So Leadership Kenosha is a 9-month professional development program provided in partnership with the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce. It's coordinated and facilitated by UW-Parkside's Office of Community and Business Engagement. Deborah, give us a brief description of what Leadership Kenosha is all about from your perspective as a facilitator.
Sure. Well, Leadership Kenosha is a little different than other kinds of leadership programs. It really focuses on educating the participants with regard to what's available in the community, what comprises the Kenosha community, so that they have a better understanding of how they could be involved. What we're really trying to do is foster leaders who are community stewards, who really know a lot about our community and care about the community, and they kind of know the entrees of where and how they can get involved. Yeah. So there's a 3-pronged approach to the program. We do some leadership skill building. We do community team projects, and those are for community nonprofits where the teams of 4 or 5 participants do projects for nonprofit organizations in the community. And then, of course, there's the community awareness and stewardship piece. So each session has elements of all 3 aspects of the program.
Okay. And when you talk about each session, how is this? Are they monthly sessions? How often do people participating in Leadership Kenosha meet?
Right. Leadership Kenosha runs 10 months, or 9 months, I guess, from September through May.
Okay.
And it starts with a 2-day retreat in September. And that it's really 1.5-day retreat. The first day is at the Colerger Conference Center, which you may know is a beautiful conference center. And people get to know one another, and we do some exercises so people kind of begin to understand their own leadership temperament. And then the next day, we take them out to a ropes course out at Camp Wonderland, where they're able to participate in a whole bunch of sort of team building and also just trust, building trust among the cohort. So usually there's probably 15 to 20 people who participate in the program. And it's a very interesting group of people in that I think this year the ages range from about early 20s up to 55. Wow. So people come to the program at different stages in their career for different reasons. And I think that makes the group diverse. I mean, the group is diverse in other ways, but it's just people have different perspectives just because of their life experience.
Sure. Sure. What, as far as maybe some unique aspects of Leadership Kenosha, what would you kind of pinpoint or say, oh, here's some things that we do that maybe some other community engagement or personal development programs might not do?
Well, I think the unique thing about a leadership program, a community leadership program, you know, as you may know, there's Leadership Racine, Leadership Madison, they're all over the country. But the model of those programs is what is unique about them is that you're getting both the leadership and team building experience, as well as the community awareness. Now, the kinds of things that I think people find really unique and eye-opening are do a day in the criminal justice system, for example. So we spent, I think it was in December, maybe January. In any case, we spend the morning at the detention center, and we tour the detention center. We learn about what the detention center is and who's in the detention center and who works in the detention center. And then in the afternoon, we go to the correctional center and we learn about the difference between the two. And at the correctional center, we participate in 2 panels. And one panel discussion has the DA, the sheriff, the chief of police, and the the DA, the sheriff, the chief of police, and a judge. Judge Mary Wagner has done it the last couple of years.
Okay.
And the participants get a chance to actually ask all of those people questions, hear directly from them. So they're really getting connected to people. We on some other events, some other sessions, we have a conversation with the mayor or a conversation with a community executive. So they really get a chance to see to meet these people and to talk with them firsthand and ask the kinds of questions that maybe they otherwise wouldn't be able to as just ordinary people unless they happen to know them.
Sure.
But even more, the next panel is the one that really affects the participants because that's a panel of inmates. And so we actually have a conversation with inmates and come to understand how they got there and what are their plans for the future. And that's a really moving session. And that's something that I believe most of the participants will rank as a real highlight for them, something that is really gives them a lot of insight into the system. But we don't just look. We looked at it from the inmates' perspective. We looked at it from the perspective of the people and who got them there. We always end up with conversations about issues of alcohol and how alcohol and drugs affect our communities. And so, you know, it's a really interesting that's one of the sessions is a real highlight. This the session we do in May, they're all at least this year's classes, they're all dreading it. And and it's funny, last year's class didn't feel this way, but we're going to a dairy farm. And so we'll be out in Kenosha County, and they're only dreading it because they haven't experienced it. They don't know what that's going to be. You know, you mean I'm not going to dress up? I'm going to a farm. I mean, what should I wear on my feet?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's funny because I find that the people who are least have the least experience with the farm before they get there are the ones who actually enjoy it the most. You know, it's a really interesting thing because we really learn from we go to Mighty Grand Dairy and the farmer is, you know, he's a businessman.
Right.
He's got a degree from UW-Madison and agriculture. And, you know, and you learn a lot about the business and the operation. And, you know, that's a really important thing for people to understand. I mean, you know, not only do we consume their products, but you know it's an important piece of our economy in Wisconsin,
right?
And so, so that's pretty interesting. We do a lot of different types of every month has a different theme with regard to leadership. It has a different theme or community sector that we explore.
I mean, thinking about the, and I want to go back to the visits with inmates a bit too, but thinking about the person who's operating a farm, you know, and the business that's involved, and not only the business that's involved, but sometimes you look at like the dairy farmer especially, and it's kind of like a 24/7 job.
Yes, it is.
That you can't just go, well, I think I'm going to go away now for a couple days and come back, and you cows over there, you'll be fine.
Right.
You know, don't worry that the commitment to a job like that, to be able, for some people who haven't experienced that, to be able to see that must be an interesting thing for them.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, last year we happened to have, out of our group of 18 or so, probably three or four of them whose grandparents had a farm or they had grown up on a farm. So they were able to add some richness to the conversation on that day. But clearly, you know, for me, it was very eye-opening the first time I went to just have that kind of conversation and understand the commitment. And in many cases, and it is the case of the farmer that we visit with, it's a family business and it's been in the family for, you know, generations. But there are many challenges associated with that as well. But I think it's also important for our participants to see the farmers as leaders in our community as well.
Right.
And so we also go to Brighton Woods Orchard, and they get to do sort of a hayride, but we learn about what they do out at Brighton Woods with the apples. And next to the apples, there's a apple trio, which is, I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, but it's a winery. And we get to go in and see how they produce the wine and other types of spirits, and we get a tiny little sample. So it's fun.
Yeah. And so going back to the visit to the detention center, talking with people who work there, inmates, from your perspective as the facilitator, what's the what's the purpose, or how do you see that visit? What are the participants in Leadership Kenosha gaining from that experience?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, we try to give them a glimpse into a wide variety of sectors. So we spend a day at the county administration building, mm-hmm. and we have representatives, local elected officials, mm-hmm. talk to us, mm-hmm. and we learn about, you know, what it's like to run for office and what it means to be an elected official and what kinds of issues are they dealing with now. And so, you know, the criminal justice system, if you think about how it touches so many people's lives, yeah. in so many ways.
Right.
And so it really is a very important piece for people to kind of understand. And a lot of, like, if people are going to go out and work in nonprofit organizations later serve on the boards of nonprofits, criminal justice system is an important piece of a lot of the mission of human mm-hmm. service agencies.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just think that it's really important that they're able to get a glimpse into all of these different sectors. We do local elected officials. We do business. We go out to Uline mm-hmm. and have people who represent the business sector and talk about economic development. We're out in this month, next week, we're going to be looking at the healthcare system in Kenosha County.
Yeah.
So in the morning, we're going to be at Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency, who provides a lot of healthcare, wellness kind of support for families, low-income families. And so we're going to see that perspective. A public health nurse is coming in to talk with us there. And mm-hmm. then we're going over to Aurora Medical Center. And we get a tour of Aurora Medical Center, and Donna Jameson, who's the vice president, and I can't remember her total title, so I'm not going to mess it up, but she's vice president of nursing, and she talks to us really eloquently about the role of the hospital and the challenges in the nursing profession and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's a chance for them to see another critical component of our community.
Sure.
We do a session on education. Go out to Gateway Horizon Center, and we talk about issues of education all day. You know, so, I think I don't know that the criminal justice session is any more important than any of the others, but
mm-hmm.
but by the time they finish, and they've had, you know, 9 segments where they visited a variety of different parts of our community, they get a good sense, a good feeling for, first of all, just the breadth of opportunities there are to get involved in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, what is it that kind of interests them and excites them? And what do they want to do with their leadership skills once they finish the program? Where do they want to get involved? And I don't want to make it sound as if many of them are very, very involved already in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may continue to stay involved in in whatever organizations they're currently with. But a lot of them are at a place where they're open, learning, and trying to figure out how they can make a difference themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting a chance to see, from your description, they're getting a chance to see numerous segments of the community or the society. And if you're going to be correct, a good leader,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to understand not just one particular area of the community or the society. And is that behind the idea of going to these different places?
Right. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you go to school and, you know, I don't know, elementary school and middle school and high school, and you learn English in one class and math in another class and social studies in another class. And then as you, you know, go on with your education or you just start reading yourself, you realize all of these things are interrelated.
Yeah.
So the same is true of our community and our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of these things relate to one another.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, sometimes we can carry a conversation through. So we might start talking about the workforce
mm-hmm.
and issues of the workforce when we talk about inmates going back into the workforce
mm-hmm.
in one session. And then the next session, we're getting back talking to the business leaders about issues of workforce development and the struggles they may have with identifying talent. And then we talk about education and how does that feed the pipeline of the workforce. So you can kind of see threads in terms of the types of questions that people ask and the types of things people who are presenting talk about.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little bit about the difference in you have people in their 20s, someone who's 50 years old. When they get involved with Leadership Kenosha, is there a kind of a common thread where something they're looking for to gain from the program, or are there various reasons that that people decide to get involved in Leadership Kenosha?
Yeah, I think that people who are younger in their careers, or younger in age maybe, are encouraged by their employers mm-hmm. to participate as a professional development opportunity. Sometimes people are in, they're looking to change careers, and they see this as an opportunity to do some networking and get a feel of the broader community.
Mm-hmm.
I think also what I've seen on occasion with Leadership Kenosha, and also when I was involved with Leadership Racine, sometimes when people are new to a community, even if they're further along in their career,
mm-hmm.
they see this as a way they can get to know the community.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
yep.
In fact, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a woman who had done Leadership Racine 20 years ago. And she said, you know, I'm interested in maybe doing Leadership Kenosha. And I was like, really? She said, yeah, you know, now that I'm working in Kenosha, I see this as an opportunity for me to really get to know this community. Right. The other thing that's really kind of cool about it is that we have people who come from a variety of different sectors. So we have people from the education sector. We have people from the healthcare sector. We have some people from government and business. And we try as much as we can to make that group really diverse
mm-hmm.
because the truth is that we all tend to meet people who are working in our field. And so this is a chance for them to not only just meet people in a superficial kind of a way, but to actually get to know. I mean, they do really bond over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody from the education sector has a really strong relationship with somebody who works for the county, and yes. maybe they otherwise would never have met.
Right.
And so it is also a way to expand your network.
Mm-hmm. What from the, you're taking people to different places, having them have the opportunity to maybe see some things that they haven't seen before or experience things they haven't seen before. What happens kind of between the time of one session to another? Is there, you know, are participants, is there reading that they're doing, or what are they doing besides just saying, okay, I'm going to go to the dairy farm today. I'm
right.
going to learn about the dairy farm.
Right.
The next I'm going to do this. What else is, it takes place in kind of in between?
In between, they're working in their teams mm. on their projects.
Okay.
So in October, they get a chance to, hear presentations by a number of different nonprofits
okay.
about potential projects. They select their projects. And so they're working on that and implementing the projects over the course
okay.
of the rest of the year
mm-hmm.
through May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way they're connected. We communicate with them. We kind of feel like when people have given up probably a good solid 9-hour day by the time they're traveling and so on, we don't give them assignments other than working on their
okay.
project.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Sometimes we'll send them an article or a video to watch in advance of a session just because it would be interesting for them. But we don't give them any kind of work to do in between the sessions. So
mm-hmm.
it's pretty much happens. You show up and you have your experience then, and then otherwise just working on your project.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of some of the projects that they're
sure.
working on?
Sure. One of the projects, I just went to the presentation a couple weeks ago. They were working with the Kenosha Coalition for Drug and Alcohol Abuse. I probably have that wrong. But they were working with Guida Brown, who runs the Hope Council.
Okay.
And the project was to create a campaign that, rather than saying don't drink and drive, the campaign is don't drive, then drink. And the idea behind it is that people always say, I'm not going to drive if I'm drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But once they go out and they've had a couple of drinks, their judgment is impaired and they think they can drive.
Yeah.
So the idea would be to plan ahead. So don't take your car if you plan to drink.
Yeah.
Or, obviously you can take a designated driver. But if you're going to be driving and you're going out, if you're going out drinking, find another way to get there so that you're not the person driving yourself home.
Sure.
And so they did all the research on it. They developed a media campaign,
mm-hmm.
Some great posters and social media campaign, and a big launch. They facilitated a launch, and they got tons of people there. And it was quite moving because they had a young woman who happened to be a nurse in Aurora, who was severely injured by a drunk driver who had been arrested that very day, gotten out of jail at 4 a.m. and hit her on her way to work at 5:30 in the morning. And so she told her story, but the Leadership Kenosha, I that was just really, mm-hmm. you know, really got me.
Yeah.
And so they conceived of the whole thing. They worked with the coalition to organize the campaign, and then they did this launch, and they're still working on other social media kinds of things to get people to pledge to participate in that. So that's one example. Mm-hmm. There's another group this year that's working with the Kenosha Achievement Center mm-hmm. to help them to market a product that they've developed. It's certain kind of teas. And in fact, they came to the Kenosha Expo and they had people testing it at the Kenosha Expo. Mm-hmm. And so they're working on how would they market and brand this product for them. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of different things. Last year, they did Leadership Kenosha did a project for the Velodrome. There's been a variety of different organizations that come forward. I think this year we're also working with Kenosha United Way, Lakeside Curative Services, and Nifty Thrifty, which is the thrift store affiliated with Women and Children's Horizons.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What does Deborah Karp get out of this? You've been involved in this for many years. I'm assuming if you didn't enjoy it, or if you didn't feel like, oh, this is something that I'd like to devote my time and my talent to. So what is it about leadership, the leadership series that you find interesting for yourself?
Well, you know, this is new for Parkside and for us.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, I did leadership Racine, I think, 08. I'm a 08 graduate. My husband did it a few years before I did it. I really believe in the program. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very valuable program. And I love, I mean, you know, I do community engagement work.
Right.
But I love that aspect of it because I think that, you know, developing somebody professionally is important, and coaching them and teaching them how to, you know, be a strong leader is an important piece of it. But I also think that this idea of community stewardship is really, really important to instill in people.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I really believe in it. But I really had been serving on the steering committee for Leadership Kenosha. Teddy Winnett ran the program mm-hmm. at UW Extension for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, she did the facilitation like we're doing. And I was sitting on the steering committee, and we were looking for someone to fill Teddy's shoes when she retired. And they were pretty big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And it one day we were in the meeting, and it just occurred to me, it's like, we could do this. And as I learned about it, actually, UW Parkside was really involved in the early planning of all the leadership programs. Mark Morlaire, who was here mm-hmm. as our director of mm-hmm. continuing ed, he was instrumental in helping to plan the programs along with the Chamber and Extension and other community organizations. 21 years ago now is when they started Leadership Kenosha, Leadership Racine, Leadership Union Grove. So in some ways, having us facilitate it, and I do co-facilitate the program with Amy Garrigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing was Amy had just, when we hired Amy with last summer, well, oh, 2 summers ago, I was trying to make this decision about whether we should take on this huge project every year.
Yeah.
And Amy was just graduating from Leadership Kenosha. So she had this recent experience, and for her it was a really great experience. So she's been really helpful too in, you know, making some changes to the program, updating it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do I get out of it? The first year I thought it was a bad decision. Now that I'm in the second year of doing it, only because it was just, you know, it's a lot of work, and the next month comes before you turn your head around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and you know, the first time you do something it's not as familiar, but this year mm-hmm. it's going, it feels more smooth and I'm a little more comfortable with it. So mm-hmm. I think it's a worthwhile program, and I get to know people that I otherwise wouldn't. So that's kind of nice too.
Right. A way for the university to connect with maybe some people that they would not, the university normally wouldn't have had the opportunity to connect with.
That's absolutely true. So we've seen connections made with the Leadership Kenosha participants for community-based learning classes, for internships. Mm-hmm. So yes, that definitely does happen.
Does it? Have you picked up things in your involvement with not just as participating in the leadership series, but now being a co-facilitator, do you pick up things in how you, your own personal leadership style, things you think about or hear, and then say, oh, here's something I can do in my yeah. quote unquote day job here as a director at UW Parkside?
Yeah, it's funny that you when we had the change management session, which is led by Esther Ledvin, who used to work here.
Yeah.
And we were going through the move for our office and a lot of structural changes, and it really reminded me what Esther was saying, reminded me of things I needed to think about in terms of leading that kind of change. Right. So, yeah, I think that, I do pick up things for myself, because I think for anybody, no matter how many times you hear certain things, you don't really, they don't always resonate with you until you actually need it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you might learn, I might have learned all this stuff 10 years ago, but I didn't really remember it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, yeah, that's where I can apply that little piece of information or strategy or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
In your, kind of going back to your day job as Director of Community and Business Engagement here at UW Parkside, what does the Director of Community and Business Engagement do?
Well, I do leadership Kenosha.
Leadership Kenosha.
I think I see my role as overseeing not all of the community engagement at Parkside, because community engagement is really pervasive on our campus, and you find it all across our campus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's to provide leadership with regard to civic engagement of our campus, and how we can be active, and to keep my to sort of hear what's going on in our community, help make those kinds of connections for our campus. We do, of course, within our unit, we run community-based learning and internships. So, you know, I oversee those kinds of programs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still involved. I've always been really involved with the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed somewhat about what we do, but I still do plan a biannual nonprofit leadership conference for the community, and we do other events like our nonprofit breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the breakfast is coming up, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
May 3rd, yeah.
And if people want to find out more about the nonprofit breakfast, how can they do that?
The nonprofit breakfast, you can just go to Parkside's website and go under community engagement.
Okay.
And you can find, or I would just type in nonprofit breakfast.
Yeah.
That's coming right up. Yeah. It's our 50th anniversary nonprofit breakfast. Not our 50th anniversary of our breakfast. It's the 50th anniversary of Parkside. So we're celebrating 50 years of community engagement.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I wanted to mention with regard to Leadership Kenosha is that we are recruiting for the next class.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
I believe the deadline for applications is June 15th.
Okay.
But we're recruiting now, and the applications are open, and it's a pretty simple application. So if anybody is interested in participating in the program, they should go to the Leadership Kenosha website.
Oh, okay. Can they find out the Chamber of Commerce would have it? Have that information as
there's
well?
There's a link. Yeah, there's a link to the Chamber of Commerce, and it's also www.leadershipkenosha.com.
Oh, okay.
And then you can go directly to the application. But there's more information there about the specifics of the program, as well as some history in terms of past projects. I mean, somebody could really, you know, spend some time kind of better understanding what they might be applying for. But yes, the applications are due in the middle of June. And, you know, as I mentioned, it's open to anybody in the community who thinks they might benefit from
it. Sure. Jumping back a second, and I know we've got just a couple minutes here to go in the program, and I've had a blast talking to you. I always enjoy talking to you, Deborah.
Well, thank you.
And now I forgot my question. Oh, it'll come back. Oh, we have a special guest coming to the nonprofit breakfast this year, don't we?
We do. We have actually several special guests, but we do. We have our second chancellor of the university, Al Guskin, and he was the person really who had the vision for UW Parkside to be a highly community engaged campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was his passion for that laid the foundation for a lot of the work we do across our campus now.
Sure.
And so we were just thrilled because Al Guskin is getting older and he lives pretty far. I think he lives out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited him and he said yes. So wow. We're pretty excited that he's going to be here and talk about some of the early days of yeah. community engagement.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's one of the things we talked about was having maybe through a phone interview, but being able to talk to him for Parkside Today.
Yeah.
You know, and ask
yeah.
him about his recollection of his time here at UW Parkside, and at a time when, you know, the university is what, 10 years old or something like that, when
yeah.
he takes
he took over in 75, so it was only really
not even 10.
8 years. Yeah. And in the right. first years, I mean, it was about getting some buildings built and figuring out how the place was going to run and getting classes launched and programs launched and so on and so forth. So, you know, by the time he came, it was the time that we could start thinking about sort of beyond our walls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, Deborah, thank you very much. Deborah Karp, Director of Community and Business Engagement here at UW Parkside, and a co-facilitator for Leadership Kenosha, has been our guest today on Parkside Today. And thank you for your time today, Deborah.
Well, thank you, John.